It is a privilege to be here with you and share in this service. I've been inspired with the singing, the devotional thoughts, and the privilege of being here. I do face a problem this morning, and that is when I was asked to share here, I said, well, I'll just use a message that I had at Shirksville. And I did. I printed out the same little pamphlets, handouts, and was fully planning to preach that, and I probably will still give you the handouts. But when I got here and saw the verse on the board, it was the verse that the Lord led me to for a talk with the family at Richard Rogers' funeral this week. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I would just like to write the word up here, creation. Because creature, you seen any creatures lately? Kind of a negative word that we have. And this is not intended to be a negative word. I'm not knocking the King James Version. It was probably the perfect word whenever that was translated way back then. But English changes. And today, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And that was a testimony of Brother Richard's life. He had been in prison, responded to invitation to go to revivals at Donors many, many years ago. Paul Ebersole was working on him. Aidan Gingrich was there. You know him, Josiah. And he was there for the revivals the second or third night. Richard couldn't stay seated. He went and confessed his sins and started on the life of walking the Christian life. And those of us who knew him, that even though he wasn't impulsive and outgoing and a mess like some of us are, he was just steadily right there serving the Lord day in and day out, an anchor for his family, an anchor for his life, and a real blessing. And I've really thought a lot about that verse, especially with a little motto that we saw later. Now, this is a glimpse at the coming judgments. And so at the end of our journey, you're going to be judged. And it starts now with your conscience working, and that's one of the things, and we're going to talk about that. But as we drove along, I think it was along the road, I saw a sign that said something like this: beware a little vaping can give you a lifetime addiction, nicotine. Addiction. True? A little vaping can give you a lifetime nicotine addiction. But that's not the only little thing that you can do today that can give you a lifetime problem. Are there any other words that you could plug in? A little, I thought of a few of these a little longer than what you did. A little, what?
Pornography.
A little porn. I'm going to say a little lust can give you a lifetime porn addiction. Is that okay? Do I just write it like that? Think about that. A little lusting can give you a lifetime. And if you involve yourself in that, it can be a lot more than just porn addiction. It can be adultery and all kinds of problems. How about a little self-pity can give you a lifetime depression? Because I'm not treated right, and goes down that line. Any more things that you could stick in here? I've got quite a list.
Unforgiveness.
Okay, a little unforgiveness. Can give you a what?
Bitterness.
Bitterness, yes. I actually had that written down, but rather than unforgiveness, I had jealousy. which we kind of fit up to, that if you are jealous, you didn't get it. You didn't have maybe that self-pity, though. That's pretty close to that. But unforgiveness, yes, that's a very sad one. A little sad one. Sad one. Not a good answer. A sad one.
A little falsehood can give you a lifetime of lying.
A little falsehood. Yes. And I don't have it spelled right. Can give you a lifetime of deception.
A little pride could give you a lifetime selfish addiction.
A little pride?
A little better word than selfish, maybe.
Hypocrisy?
Yeah.
Selfish? Hypocrisy? A little worry can give you a lifetime of
fear.
Fear, yes. Now, my question is, how does this verse fix these things? How do you make it practical? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. This is so negative. But this is me. Oh, well, not all at the same time, but, you know, every one of us, you face some of those kind of things. So the question this morning is, how, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. How does that happen? Is it just a button you push? It just seems so... Okay, when I talked to the family, and I talked about the brother, and I talked about how, you know, I worked with our brother for several years in the Zimmerman chair shop, and I remember stuff that people did to each other, stuff that was negative, stuff that was not all that good, that other people said and did, some things that I can't even repeat here, but I don't remember anything that Richard did. He was just always there, a quiet person, steady. We all had nicknames there, and for some reason they gave him the name Buffalo. I think it was more because of the way he looked. Some of us got our names because of our first names that are a little the way they are. I was called, I better not say that, because Herbie's not a bad word around here, is it? But I was called Herbie, okay? sorry about that. All kind of names in the shop, all kind of stuff happened. But as I look back, Richard was just a faithful man. He did his work. He entered into conversation. He was pleasant. He was steady. And as I described him, the family kept sitting there, nodding their head and saying, yes, that was Dad, you know. That's the way he was. And, is that what they'll do for you? Is that what they remember about you? You know, how do you go from... I don't know what his crimes were that put him in jail. I don't know how that went, but how do you go from this and this to this? Being a new creation, something made. A creation is something that is made, that is real, out of something that did not exist before. When God created, and Sandra and I are just reading through the Bible again, and it's just chapter 1 of Genesis. He's there and God comes on the scene and he says, let there be light. Let there be stars also. And all of the universe was made out of nothing. How does he do that? How does God, if you are in Christ, make good out of all of this mess that we've been describing here? What do you, huh?
A new heart.
A new heart. And some of it is, okay, how? Let me just write that down over here. How? Okay, let's say a new heart. And there is the miraculous part of this. There's something miraculous about what Jesus can do for you that nobody else can do.
There's a miracle that can happen. But how do you trigger that? How do people trigger the miraculous change that Jesus brought in their life?
Surrender.
Surrender. What do you mean by surrender?
Giving up yourself, confessing it.
Okay, and so as you experience these things here, what do you tell yourself when you're thinking pride or when you're thinking worry thoughts or you're thinking self-pity thoughts? And you wake up in the middle of the night and this is just what's burning through your mind and going around and around and around and you're thinking this, or maybe it's lust or maybe it's envy or maybe it's jealousy or maybe it's bitterness against somebody. What do you do if you are in Christ?
I cry out, Jesus, help me.
All right. Surrender, ask for help. Is this a real experience? Is this a real experience? Yes, it is real when you find your mind stuck in some kind of a garbage pile to cry out and say, Lord, help me to see you in your majesty. And some of these things are things like worship. In other words, envision going to the throne. I don't want to do this Eastern religion kind of thing, but is the throne of God real? Did Isaiah really see the Lord lifted up? Is it a real place? Can you, through the descriptions that the Bible gives you in Revelation, can you go there in your mind? Yes, you can. Pardon?
Through a glass darkly.
Through a glass darkly. Now we see through a glass darkly, 1 Corinthians 13 says. You can go to the presence of the Almighty and you can see Him in His greatness. Now, the Bible plainly says that He dwelleth in the light that no man can approach unto. It's even at the most that you can imagine, the descriptions that we have in the Bible. No man has seen God in any time. The only begotten from the Father, what? What's the rest of that verse? He hath declared Him. In other words, He has revealed Him. I might not have the verses right. But the fact of the matter is that when you bring Jesus into your mind, and you bring the scenes into your mind that when He lived here, and whenever you go to the throne where He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and you see Him there, and you ask Him for help with your situation, you can leave these things behind. But the longer you stay in this, and the more they stay entrenched in your mind, the more they stay entrenched in you, the less you will lose your ability to escape them. Can a person get to the place where they can't be saved anymore? Where they can't give up their old patterns? So anyway, this is all the stuff that I was thinking about and getting ready for Richard's talk to the family. But this is also the things that I've been thinking about since I saw this motto appear. Any man be in Christ is a new creation. Now I want to talk just a little bit about the scenes of judgment. And I'm going to put them over here. And the fact that you can get the handout whenever you're done. Oh, one more thing I want to say. I brought something else I wanted to show you before I get too far. There's another help for this journey. Does anybody know what these things are? Anybody have any idea what this is? Let's see if I can get it unfolded. Look at that. Isn't that something? What a mess. Is that a mess? No? Why? What is it? This is a Bible reading record where some little girl by the name of Kara Jo, and I'm not going to say her last name, but you won't know her anyway, from McVeightown, Pennsylvania. She went down through here in black, blue, red, pink, all kinds of colors, mostly black, purple, green even, and Thursday and Saturday and Sunday and marks off things and went through here and went through the whole Bible. Do you know how hard it is to do this? Huh? You know how hard it is to do it?
Well, I decided to bring more records along, and they're back there. Not this kind. If you want this particular one, I do have this kind there, and I have the booklets there. But I also wanted to bring you, in case the children wanted to see, that through the Bible reading certificate, if you read it and you ask for it, you get through the Bible, you ask for it, right here. This through the Bible reading certificate to acknowledge that your name, I put exclamation point. Now this is not written for somebody, this is written for an illustration. Has applied effort and diligence in reading through the Bible in testimony of the finished reading date of December 31, 2026. Did we get there yet? Children, did we get to December 31, 2026 yet? When is that? Y'all know? The end of this year. It's still a possibility for you. You can take one of these things, or the book, or this one, or whatever kind you want, and you might have your name written in there because I have this one signed. This is what we offer. And this is not the best part of reading the Bible through. The best part of reading the Bible through is it brings you exceeding great and precious promises that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature and escape the pollution that is in the world through lust. There is pollution in this world. It's this kind of things, and you get there by thinking these kind or doing this. Oh, intoxication, a little intoxication can give you a lifetime of alcohol drug addiction. Okay, is that all right to add that to the list? I mean, we didn't nearly exhaust this, but there is power in overcoming these things. Now, I want to talk about the judgments yet, because that was going to be, and I'm not giving you a handout, but I want you to think about this with me. What are the coming judgments that you will face if you live this kind of life and this, or this kind of life and this, and what is the judgment you get right away? What is the judgment that is acting in your heart and life right now? And then I want you to give me some verses about that. I'll write it then. Conscience. Conscience is what you have going on right now inside of you. And this word means with. That's the root word. And science means knowledge. With knowledge. Inside you is a voice where you are continually excusing or accusing. Your thoughts are either accusing or excusing you. Maybe I should read some of these verses. The judgment of conscience. Let me see if I can find the one that I have marked out here. This is a sermon going totally different than what I envisioned, but that's all right because you can look at these verses later. And I will. In John chapter 8, God created a voice within us. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Who hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's John chapter 8, 4 through 11. What's your conscience saying to you this morning? Have you come to Christ with all of your need, all of your sin? And this is what you can do. Lord, these thoughts are going through my mind as I wake up. This is what I'm thinking about. Lord, I need to come to you. What will you do with these thoughts? And either you will go away being condemned, carrying your thoughts in secret, carrying your life in secret. The Pharisees had too much to give up, and they couldn't be who they really were. And so they carried it away on the inside. Where are those Pharisees today? Unless they repented. Now, a lot of the priests repented, it says in Acts chapter 7. But it doesn't say that about the Pharisees. Those who were insisting on looking good to everybody else but hid it in their hearts. Are there any other verses you have that talk about the conscience doing its work? I have a few written down, but I just wonder, are there any others?
For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldliness, live soberly and righteously.
Yes. The grace of God that hath appeared to all men. And that's what that lady felt, that woman felt, was the grace of the Lord Jesus, of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if we bring our sins and our needs to Him, Lord, I've got this problem. I'm ready to own it. She was exposed before all of those people, and she was there. Now, we don't know everything that went on in her heart, but we see this again and again. We're just reading that in the New Testament when whenever the people, publicans and harlots, came to John the Baptist and confessed their sins and were baptized. And it was all taken care of. And it's all that in the same in my friend. But the conscience is the with knowledge that you know that everything is clear. And as you have that, as you take this route, ask for help as you go to the throne, then these can be taken care of because you met the judgment of conscience. Number two, judgment is the rapture. Now I want to talk about a little Old Testament timeline. I was going to draw that on the board, but I'm running out of room here. It'd be nice if you had a little bigger board. That's not fair for me to say that. But I'm going to do a little timeline. I'm just going to erase some of these bottom ones here and do a little timeline here from the Old Testament prophets and their perspective. This is Old Testament. And we're going to draw a little highlight, a little mountain here. Well, I should have put Old Testament so close there. But what I want to do is have this prophet standing here. And, of course, they wore robes. And as he looks out over the valley and his sights, and he's pointing out there, and he talks about what's there. What do you read in the Old Testament prophecies? Well, you read about a star. You read about Bethlehem being the place of birth. You read about he was despised and rejected. You read about him becoming a sacrifice. And so I'm going to draw three crosses. And then you read about a time of the day of the Lord. And this is very, very many times, 19 references. Prophets talked about the day of the Lord coming and being a terrible time of judgment. You also talk about a time whenever there was peace over the whole earth. Little children running and playing in the streets of Jerusalem. And we know this. And then you read about a millennium or the eternity. Let's just say eternity. But you only find a few occasions about, you really don't find anything about church, but you do read about Gentiles coming to the Lord. This seems like this whole period of 2,000 years is just about, it didn't even come up. Well, what verses do you know in the Old Testament about the Gentiles coming, believing in the Lord and the church coming into existence through Jesus? Very little. But again and again and again, and I have a little pamphlet here about the day of the Lord will come. Listen to this. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they that shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her
light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
How many of you had a little dagger of fear when you found out that Mr. Trump went and snatched a dictator off of his pedestal and brought him to America? How many of you had a dagger of fear when I read this about the land's going to howl, pains and sorrow will take a hold of them, pain is a woman that travail, there's going to be flames, there's going to be wrath and fierce anger? How many of you had any dagger of fear about that? Oh, you did? You could visualize that. These passages are very vivid, but we've read them so often we don't think much about it.
But I want to tell you something. Turn in your Bibles to Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and spill over into chapter 5. Because again and again, I have a lot of references about this. The fact of the matter is, Jesus says he's going to come back in an hour when ye think not. And he's going to, like in the days of Noah, some will be taken and the others will be left. And in Thessalonians, he says that that is to be a great comfort to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See if I can find it here. For the Lord himself, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I may not see the timeline right, but this is where I get my timeline. He says, comfort, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. The Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He starts talking about this. For when men shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. This time that the prophet saw is still going to come. Right? But Jesus says, and this passage, and if you flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he has the same words of comfort. We beseech you by the coming of the Lord Jesus, by our gathering together unto him. I'm talking about the rapture. I personally believe, and I may be wrong, but I personally believe that because he mentions that, the rapture, and that will be a time of great separation. That is going to be a judgment. And those who are ready for Christ will be taken. What about the ones who were not ready? I remember many years ago, 50 years, 60 years ago, Tim LaHaye wrote those books about and the rapture and the people who weren't ready, they joined and fought against the Antichrist. Is that what he says? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, verse 10, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What am I saying? I personally believe if you are not ready for the rapture, you are going to be damned, because you knew and you chose this stuff over here, lust, self-pity, unforgiveness and pride and all of that, that you will be left behind. But if you read the book of Revelation, there's great multitudes that get saved who never knew the truth. Angels are preaching, the two witnesses are preaching. And so there are many who come through this day of the Lord and still are ready for the Lord when he comes back. But they're mostly martyred. I remember a preacher in our day saying, if you aren't ready for the rapture, then you can still be saved, but you'll have to be martyred for your faith. I don't believe that. I believe that if you're not ready for the rapture, if you are feeding your sin, your worry, your whatever it might be, instead of being a new creation in Christ, then you're going to get left behind. Okay? Number three is the judgment seat. And I have verses for all this. Of Christ. Where Christians will be called up, and those who have sent their sins over beforehand to judgment, and they've made it acknowledge that they were sinners, and they had that dealt with, that's taken care of. But the good deeds that they did, 2 Timothy talks about this. Paul told Timothy,
First Timothy or Second Timothy. I always get that, I don't have that clear in my mind. He says, some men's sins go beforehand to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, the good that men do, whatever good you do and you can hide it, there will be the judgment seat of Christian. What did I write that for? Of Christ, because he will reward everyone according to what they did, even a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. If you can do good works and keep it hidden, you will be rewarded in front of everyone that day. That's what it's going to be. And it's going to be yours. What about the man who was faithful with two talents? What did he get? What about the one who hid his talent? Everything was taken away. What about the one who was, and they were reigning over cities? I personally believe that the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards will be given for the period of time of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign. And we do not yet know, but one thing I want to tell you, if you are in Christ and a new creature, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, what?
We shall be like him.
As we have borne the image of the earthly, even so we also shall what?
Reign with him.
Bear the image of the heavenly, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned. What?
Like
unto his glorious body. What are you going to look like when you're with Christ in the millennium? You're going to look like Jesus looks. Revelation chapter 1. Fire shooting out of your eyes. I mean, it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it, brother. You don't want to miss it, sister. If you live with him now and you make his eternal investments, there's going to be a tremendous reward for that. And the new creation that comes out kind of disguised today as you humbly walk in the steps of the humble Savior who was here among man's desires. What did he do? He served this woman who was taken in adultery. I saw that woman sitting along the where the road turns, you come up 645 and it ends and you come into Pine Grove, there's a lady sitting there. And when I see these homeless people, I don't know if she was homeless or not, my heart goes out, what would Jesus do in those kind of situations? What would he do in the situations where there are needs all around us? If it touches your heart and you can do something about it, that will be rewarded someday. If you talk to somebody who's dumping out their heart and their struggles and trying to find their way, if you care for the people that are not cared for, the Lord will reward you. Well, that's the judgment seat of Christ, and it's going to be rewarded. And then, number four is the great, and that's 2 Corinthians 5. I should write that. Well, you can get it in your handout whenever you look at it afterward. And then the last one is in Revelation chapter 20, great white throne. Judgment. What are the secrets that are going to come out? What are some things that Jesus specifically said that are going to be known to everybody? You don't know any of those things?
Things that are written in the book of life.
Okay. Their names are written. They're going to look for your name written in the book of life. But what does he say? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, what you have done. There is nothing covered that will not be uncovered. There is no secret that will not be. He talks about our words, for our words, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. He talks about the secrets of men being made manifest before men. Jesus made this very plain, very, very plain. He goes on to say, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. He says that the second time. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the
lake of fire. So in this timeline, down here is the lake of fire, and up here is the celestial city and the... Now, this is your life. This is your timeline. We are still here. Jesus has not come back. When Jesus comes back, will you be ready? Only if you are a new creation in Him. If you are in the habit of taking your sins, taking your problems, taking your worries, taking your bitterness, taking your judgment, whatever it is, if you are in the habit of taking it to Christ and saying, I need help. I want to walk the path that you walk. I don't want this resentment. I don't want this anger. I don't want this lust. I don't want this greed taking up my life. I don't want to be living the life that Steve naturally lives. I want to be in Christ. I want to be what you can make me be as I am in you. And if that happens in your life, when Jesus comes back, you'll be ready. But if you're still living in the depth of your carnality, feeding your lust, your pride, your envy, your jealousy, your self-pity, or whatever it may be, if you're still doing that, you will not be ready for this. That was the message, in a summary, what the Lord gave me. I'm sure I left some things out, but I'll set these back. You can help yourself if you want any of the other handouts that I have. Let's kneel for prayer.